about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I need everyone to shut up and answer one simple question.
You sons of bitches ready to party? Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah.
What is going on? Not only here, but generally speaking.
Seven beans. Funny things are gonna happen. Wow.
Put your hands in the air. Now do the hokey pokey, because that's what it's all about.
And now.
That's disgusting.
Oh, I see. So you don't want to see a close-up picture of my anus because you hate gay men.
No, I don't want to look at a close-up picture of anyone's anus.
Homophobe.
Our feature presentation.
That's a decent policy, I think.
Sure.
I don't think you really want to see really anyone in that state. I'm down.
Hey, speak for yourself, brother.
Uh-huh.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 15th of October.
Makes me sad, though. The month is now half over. We're going to run out of time on Rocktober. And if Muggs keeps his word, he'll still be working here on November 1st, and nobody wants that.
Woo!
Hey, speaking of anuses, how's your leaky gut, Lisa?
Better. Not healed, but better.
Every day, Lisa comes in and she tells us today's food or drink she's no longer allowed to eat. You know, we used to make fun of the cloud diet. I don't know that it's that far off from reality anymore.
I know. I keep having to pull things out of my diet. Coffee is the latest victim.
What the hell is going on with you?
Well, because things aren't going as hoped, and so it seems like I have to eliminate more things to heal.
What can you eat?
I can put things back in.
What can you eat? Just like lettuce?
No,
she's
God,
on the
no,
hamster diet, basically.
That's it. I can eat like chicken soup and beef patties and pureed butternut squash.
Half of which is going to get cut out tomorrow.
Chicken soup and pureed vegetables makes it sound like you're 85 years old, Lisa.
It does, right? But
that's
it's
what
super
they feed
easy.
You in the home.
Sounds like you gum your food.
Right.
I know. I feel like a baby.
Well, the reason I bring this up is, and I feel blessed every day to be healthy. I mean, that's one thing. If you can stand up and walk out of bed in the morning, if you can see, if you can move your arms and legs, you're ahead of a lot of people in the world. There's a lot of bad things. That, I mean, I ran into a friend of mine yesterday. I said, hey, where you been? I haven't seen you. He said, well, I had intestinal cancer.
Oh.
Wow. That's what he had been going through. And he's fine. He's doing well. But, I mean, a lot of bad things can happen. And there is a condition called Clostridium difficile. And I guarantee I'm pronouncing that wrong. And it's not uncommon, but it causes debilitating diarrhea, which, as you know, from any time you see stories from around the world, people die every day by the thousands of diarrhea. It will kill you if diarrhea is consistent and bad. I mean, you become dehydrated and you can't absorb any kind of nutrients. So it's a terrible thing to have happen to you. It can't be much fun. And the way it has been treated for several years now is with something called a fecal transplant. We've talked about these before.
Yes, they're miracles.
Yeah, it's a miracle. This is where they take poop and they basically use a colonoscopy to put it in you rather than take it out you. And you get it from usually a relative. And now that's an awkward conversation.
Hey, how you feeling today?
Hey, mom, can I borrow some poop? That's what they've been doing. And it's not pleasant for anybody involved. It's not been a great way to treat it. And then they tried, researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital, then they tried delivering the fecal transplant through a tube snaked down the patient's nose and into the stomach.
That seems worse to me.
And that, for many people, that was worse. Yeah, that was no good. But now they're trying something that they've had phenomenal success with, which is the frozen poop pill.
What's going on?
Wow, really?
Thank God that there are doctors who are dedicating time and resources and efforts into figuring out better ways to do things. A pill does not require an invasive procedure at all. It doesn't make you sick as long as you mentally you can handle it. And they freeze the pills so the donors don't need to be standing by as with the other methods where it needs to be fresh. This is frozen. So basically you're just taking a pill. They've worked on all sorts of ways to make the pill acid resistant so it doesn't get broken down in your stomach before it gets to your intestines. Unfortunately, that means the pills are translucent. So maybe you don't want to see that as much as you'd like.
I don't want any of this.
Well, then you should be glad that you don't have this Clostridium difficile. That's for sure. So far, they've had phenomenal results with it, by the way. They've treated dozens of people so far, and about 90% of them have responded well to the treatment. So this could be the answer.
This always fascinates me. Who was the first doctor to go, let's put poop back in?
Yes.
Like, who could have thought of that?
But you know what's interesting, Kevin, is it's exactly the same theory, as I understand my medicine, as they treat people with Ebola today with blood from people who have beaten Ebola.
Right, right.
So they're basically taking healthy, healthy bacteria and putting it into a compromised system to help that system. Hmm. I mean, in a way, it's kind of the same thing.
And with obesity, they are thinking that maybe the gut bacteria of thin people is different than the gut bacteria people that are struggling with obesity, and that they may be able to do some sort of transfer like this in the future.
And then,
that would help people to lose weight because it may have a lot to do with the gut bacteria that they have.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if
this
there's
is
a,
all above my pay grade, I'll tell you that.
The world, Kevin.
I don't know how. I don't know if there's going to be a market if now people are going to be wanting to buy poop or whatever. But this is something to keep mugs. A part-time job for you. I mean, you generate so much.
I know.
Imagine. I mean, it'd be a whole other income for you.
You might end up looking like mugs.
Can you go on? Yeah.
I don't think you want.
Can
that.
You go like Amazon and order that? Is that how it works?
It doesn't say that yet. It doesn't say the frozen poop pills are available. But I just thought that was fascinating. I mean, I'm not smart enough for any of this stuff either, but I am always interested when I see these kind of medical breakthroughs or when they do tests that seem promising. I always think it's awesome. It's awesome to see somebody's working on that stuff. So there you go. So Lisa, hope for you and your leaky gut.
Thank God.
I was at the Trub last night and I saw a fecal transplant and they opened for debilitating. Shoot. It would have been so much better.
I couldn't have done it.
Debilitating diarrhea. Yeah. More importantly, why would I try that?
What's wrong with you?
That was the level of difficulty was far more than you should attempt
really
at this
was.
Stage of your career.
Yeah, I really need to pull back, not have so much hope. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Call me when you're good.
Wow. Well, don't expect a call for any amount of time. Hozier is going to be here performing live.
Yeah. Yay!
Love that. Love the live music.
Yes.
It's always fun. Adam Carolla.
Ladies think he's dreamy, too. You know that, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage. Is that your Adam Carolla impression?
Yes, it is.
We also have Carrie Elwes talking about the movie that was shot. How many years ago was it, Princess Bride?
27.
Oh, really?
Well, the big 27-year reunion.
I still love that movie.
Everybody loves that movie, Lisa. It's a classic, a modern classic.
A lot of words in the title. I'm not going to try that, as I've learned my lesson right now.
Okay.
We have some new Halloween songs from an artist, an up-and-coming artist named the Armenian Comedian.
Oh, no.
Very
no,
excited.
No,
oh,
no.
Oh, yeah. Like 2 days ago, he came walking into the office, and he's special.
Yes, he is.
He's really something.
But we don't have to play those, do we?
We don't have to play the songs? Why wouldn't
yeah.
we?
I'm all excited, brother.
Right.
It's the Armenian Comedian.
Yes.
Is that where we're at?
Yes, it is. And by the way,
why do we have to put up with this?
Because it's awesome.
This is crap.
He did two songs, by the way. Two songs.
Okay. Oh, great.
Very excited. We also have John Bernthal talking about Fury, the movie that comes out this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And you mistook somebody for a celebrity on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, don't forget, we also have your tickets for Hilarity for Charity Prom Night. And that is Seth Rogen and Sarah Silverman and Craig Robinson and Bill Burr and a whole bunch more.
That's awesome.
So a chance at those tickets coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
10:15 to get rid of this looter.
106.7 K-Rock.
10-4.
It's KROQ, Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
By the way, we missed International CB Day, which was last weekend on October 4th on 10-4. We didn't do anything about it.
Oh, Bean.
And we did all that preparation for like 6 months.
I know. And then we forgot. Yeah. And we forgot when 10-4 came around.
When are you going to Orangeville, Illinois, Bean, more importantly?
Orangeville, Illinois, please tell me what I'm missing that's going on there.
I thought you'd be broadcasting from there this morning or moving there or something.
What's...
Or at least, yeah, I know you're planning a vacation there.
What's happening there?
Orangeville, Illinois, Kevin, is the home of the world's tallest cow.
Oh, the world's tallest cow. I did see pictures of her yesterday. She's adorable. What is she, 6'4"?
She is 6'4" tall.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's a hot cow.
That's a big cow. I did see pictures of it yesterday.
Named the world's tallest by the Guinness Book of World Records.
It's very impressive.
Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Is 6'4" tall.
Yeah, I might swing by and say hello at some point. Sure.
However, is unable to have children for some reason. They found she's infertile. Because no cow wants to bang a giant cow. That's why no bull wants to bang a giant cow.
Okay.
Give the bull a couple beers. That'll all change.
She'll start to look pretty good.
That's right. Now, does this mean 6'4" tall? Is it like on her hind legs?
Standing up. This is just standing on all four legs, yeah.
At the shoulder?
Yes, that's right.
That's a big cow.
That's a big cow.
If I'm standing up, that cow is 4 inches taller than I am on all four legs.
Yes.
That's a mutation.
That's what's happening. That's why this cow is the biggest cow.
The radiation
tallest cow in the world.
From Japan making its way over here is what it is.
It could be.
All right, let's take a look at show business news. A lot of love in the air. A lot of love going on.
All right.
In the world. For example... Ariana Grande has finally admitted that she is indeed going out with rapper Big Sean. They are officially a couple. That Big Sean, by the way, from Naya Rivera to Ariana Grande.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a bad...
He's got a type.
Yeah. Hot chicks, if you're into that sort of thing. Josh Groban and Kat Dennings of Two Broke Girls, apparently, a brand new couple. How about them?
Yeah, I saw them on the pictures of them on the red carpet the other day. They looked very, very lovey-dovey.
Very much in love. Love's good, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say that's a fair statement.
And I would also say that I think that's a good couple. Not that I know either one of them, but I'm saying they both seem like...
They passed the eye test, right?
Cool people, yeah.
Catherine McPhee, she's dating one of her co-stars of Scorpion, a guy named Ellis Gable.
Mm-hmm.
Word is, however, he wants to break up the relationship. But they work together every day on the set.
That's tough. That's why it's tough. That's a terrible...
What they say about not doing where you eat.
Yeah. That's why you and Lisa had to cool it.
Yeah. It was just too, the tension.
You talking about me or Kevin? Because we've both been there. So I have to know which one Bean was talking to at the moment. And Kesha is suing her producer, Dr. Luke. TMZ says she claims Dr. Luke sexually, physically, and verbally abused her for 10 years.
Wow.
Things got so bad she nearly died, she claims. Kesha signed with Dr. Luke when she was 18 years old. The lawsuit accuses him of forcing her to take drugs and drink alcohol to lower her defenses so he could have his way with her. Kesha claims that his abuse led to an eating disorder, and she is asking a judge to end her contract with Dr. Luke. Now, some people are speculating she's inventing all of this because she wants to end her contract with Dr. Luke.
Yeah, interesting.
He, for example, is one of these people, saying she's making all this up so she can get out of their legally binding agreement early. So, I guess we'll have to see what happens in the courts, but this could get ugly.
I'm nervous about disparaging her remarks too much because my inclination is to believe women who
absolutely claim
sexual abuse. But isn't she crazy? Like, hasn't she said a whole bunch of stuff in the past about being from outer space and just all sorts of like nonsense?
Yeah. I don't know whether that was just a performance though, or
being wacky, or.
I know she likes to wake up and brush her teeth with Jack Daniels, doesn't
she? I've heard that.
I saw that in a documentary. She was like sleeping in a bathtub.
It was a music video.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a documentary.
Okay.
I think Ken Burns did a 12-part series.
I don't think that was
called Kesha, the bathtub years.
I don't think that is a thing.
No. You sure?
So the cow is 6'4"?
That's what I'm saying. And my new favorite TV show hasn't been made yet, but it will be soon. Mark Cherry. The guy behind Desperate Housewives?
Yeah, we remember him.
Devious Maids is now a show he's got on the air. He's putting together a new series for the CW. called Cheerleader Death Squad.
I like it.
Cheerleader Death Squad follows a CIA agent turned high school teacher who recruits and then transforms cheerleaders in his elite Washington, D.C. high school into assassins and spies. Cheerleader Death Squad.
That's awesome.
I give to you Cheerleader Death Squad.
And I will accept that and ask you what the air date is.
I don't have one yet, but it's in the works. So.
I can't believe you're not in it, Ralph.
I can't either. You know, that sounds like my kind of film.
It sure does.
Maybe Cheerleader Death Squad will take on Lavalantula. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, Rocktober 15th. Director Penny Marshall is 71 years old today. Performer Tito Jackson, Tito, is 61. Emeril Lagasse, bam, he's 55 years old. Stacy Peralta, legendary skateboarder, he turns 57 years old today. Vanessa Marcil is 46. Dominic West, very talented actor from The Wire, and now is currently on The Affair on Showtime, 45 years old today. And the Genuine, 44 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Manuel Salgado from Los Angeles. Just won the front of line passes for Not Scary Farm. Nice. Your chance to win is coming up.
Got them for you every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show and all week long here on K-Rock. Hey, here's a guy that I have a lot of respect for. His name is John Schultz. He's one of those guys, Kevin, that you hate who buys domain names so that he can later sell them.
Yeah. Yeah, those people suck.
Well, he, in 2008, bought Ebola.com for $13,500. Ebola has never been hotter than it is right now.
But it wasn't then, right?
It's been around for decades. Ebola's been around. So he was just banking on, hey, one day Ebola's coming back, and one day I'm going to make some money off of it. And it is currently for sale for the low, low price of $150,000 if you want to own Ebola.com. Yeah.
That's so weird.
It is. He also, by the way, owns birdflu.com. He owns h1n1.com, terror.com. He's got a whole bunch of them. He is a disaster domain dealer. That's what he does.
That's weird.
So he's the one guy that doesn't want to see this Ebola epidemic wrap up just yet until he can make some cash off of it. United States scientists have been working on an Ebola vaccine since as far back as 2001. It's something that's been on their radar. They're not having a lot of success with it, but there is news this week out of Russia that they have three different vaccines in the hopper, and they're about to finish work on one of them that they think is going to be successful. They are claiming that they have beaten Ebola in Russia.
Wow. That would be amazing.
It would be amazing. Is Russia the kind of country that would share it with the rest of the world, or would they just...
It's an excellent question.
Give the vaccine to all their people and then la-na-na-na-na to the rest of us. I don't know. But it's hard to tell sometimes with news coming out of that part of the world how truthful it is. So we thought we'd find out what's going on. So we've got the social affairs director, We've got the prime minister of medical science, Alexei Volchenkov, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Mr. Volchenkov.
Здравствуйте, comrades. How are you this morning?
We are good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. We're very excited by this news. We read in the U.S. papers this morning about a vaccine for Ebola.
Yes. Once again, the Russian mind is greater than American mind. And we have conquered disease of Ebola very simply in laboratories here in Moscow.
Now, have you tested it? Do you know it works?
We have not testing yet. That's next process is for us to be testing. And then we'll know that we are very successful because we are geniuses.
Okay.
What is the what's the secret? Like, how did you crack that nut? U.S. scientists have been working on it for a long time.
Well, we're not, first of all, telling you that. But it's our secret. We have created the vaccine before you.
Right.
So, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, first of all.
Look, I think we...
Russia is great. America sucks.
I think we'd be happy to give you props if you come up with... a cure for that. I mean,
Thank you. We appreciate your props. we accept the props in the manner with which they are given.
Okay.
And, yes, we have many props, and you are lacking in props.
I don't remember the last thing that the Russians invented or discovered ahead of the Americans since the late 1950s.
Easy there. Easy, American pig dog.
Well, I'm just saying, we've been kind of leading in the...
How about space? How about that? How do you like some space?
That's what I said. The late 1950s, you were ahead of us for a minute.
Space before you.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's true.
But once then, so I said to you, nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Right, but then we went to the moon. I mean, not to argue, but, we topped you.
Moon. What's there? Nothing. Dust.
Right, but the point is America's the only country that's been able to fly and land humans on the moon. You kind of petered out at sending monkeys up.
Okay, Uncle Sam. Okay. All right. What have you done for me lately, perhaps, is the question we all should be asking.
All right.
Cutie Ebola, thank you, suck it.
Right, but I mean, Russia doesn't have a huge history of scientific discoveries in the 1960s, 70s, 80s.
Geniuses, and we get everything done amazingly well. Just look at Olympics, look at those.
Well, I mean, really,
amazing work there, my friends.
Nothing was done there. There were
How
door handles falling off.
How many countries, you know, you sheet for doors? That was genius. No slamming. There's no slamming then. It doesn't keep you awake at night with slamming doors because there's just a sheet hanging over a hole.
Right.
Right, but there's also no door there, which I think is what we were kind of hoping for.
Well, maybe we come up with something better than door.
I see.
Okay. The sheet door. The sheet door.
You're saying sheet, right?
Sheet door,
okay,
yes.
Good.
It's a sheety door.
Okay. Understood.
A door
that
is made from sheet.
From sheet, at the Olympics. We got
it. It's a sheety door. So true,
yes.
It is a sheety door.
Right. Yes. Okay. Now we hear you. We hear you.
The door is, instead of wood, is made from sheet.
Right. Right. Got it.
You take a sheet.
Right.
And you make it over the hole, and that makes for door.
Right. Yeah. And you're the country we're going to cure Ebola.
We got it, baby. We got the vaccine. If you want no more Ebola, better come talk to us.
All right. When will it be available? When can we get it from you?
When you need it.
Now?
Well, now. I mean, we have people in America right now with the Ebola.
Well, that's good. We have to put the Russia on it. That's extra charge. I can do have next Wednesday for you.
Next Wednesday?
Before close of business.
I'm sure we'd be happy with that. I mean, it's better than what we got going on here.
Let me talk to my guys to see what I can do for you.
All right.
Okay. All right. We'll be waiting for some confirmation then.
You know it's just vodka, right?
What?
Wednesday morning here on the 15th of Rocktober. I don't know. That seemed to me like it was late and low.
It was late and low, but that was on me.
Oh!
Yeah, sorry.
You're not helping us get mugs fired, Kevin.
Well,
come on.
He had it queued up, but the volume was turned down, so I had to turn the volume up. Is that good enough?
Damn it.
Technically, can we get...
No,
he's still...
Anyway, 2 weeks left till Halloween, and we're getting some... by the way, Omar, haven't you been... DJ Omar Khan joins us in studio. Haven't you been impressed with the quality of the Halloween songs that our listeners have been sending in?
Absolutely, yeah. Very impressive. Somebody took Halloween Spooks and remixed it, and we'll play that later this week.
Oh, good.
It's not good.
Oh, okay.
All right. You take a song that's not good and remix it. Generally, it's not good.
Yeah. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
Well, we are very much in the Halloween music mode, and we have been asking you if you have a Halloween song. Kevin hates Halloween Spooks, and we're looking for some new Halloween songs. We've been asking people to send them in, and we got some great ones. Let's try to do a new batch tomorrow, because I know we just got some good ones in.
Yeah.
And then whose bright idea was it to contact our old friend, the Armenian comedian, about doing some Halloween songs for us?
Well, Dave talked me into it. Because I'm very
Dave talked you into it.
He did.
He mentioned it in passing, and Omar was like, yes!
Yeah, I was kind of, soured on Sam because of the whole podcast thing, I think we did like 3 podcasts, and I was out because Sam wouldn't bring anything to the table.
Yeah. Right.
So I was just like, why am I going to do something for Sam, bring him in, I'm going to do all this work, and it's probably going to come out like crap. But I forgot that Sam is brilliant.
He's a musical genius.
He's a musical genius.
Okay.
He's a magician.
Yeah, exactly. And a clown.
Yeah.
He's all of it. Packed into one. He's a super talented guy.
So you had a session this week and recorded what?
We recorded some Halloween songs.
Okay.
And
some, okay.
Yeah, they're both classics. And I should have got with lighting because this is my first time recording with Sam.
Okay? Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that Sam wasn't going to bring anything. So I jotted down some lyrics, and I wrote a song for him, and I actually had a little guide track of how I wanted to sing them, and that just went out the window. He just did his own thing. He took some of my lyrics.
That's what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't put him in a box.
Yeah, so he came prepared, though. He had an actual song.
Wow.
So I got another bed, so we recorded 2 songs, one that I wrote, and Sam put his own spin on it,
mm-hmm.
and then the second one is all Sam, and I just produced it.
All right, which one do you want?
Let's play the one Halloween-y time. I try to write for Sam, kind of get into his head of what he would want
to
do.
That's a scary place to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But if anyone can go there, it's Omar.
Yeah, exactly. So this is Halloween-y time, wrote by me and sang by the Armenian comedian.
I'm Sam the Armenian comedian. It's time for a Halloween. I'm Sam the Armenian comedian.
I want to make you scream. Because I'm scaring you like a skeleton. Because I have something big in my pants. It might be Halloween time. But for my ladies, it's Halloweeny time. I want to hunt you, little kitty. Come here, little kitty, because you're so pretty. I am Sam, the spooky one. I want to shoot you with my crotch gun. I want to butt you in the neck. Then I will make some baklava so we can eat it. Oh, it's so spooky on Halloween. Oh, I'm so bold. I look like Mr. Clean. Oh, come on, baby. Let me cut your hair. Come on, baby. I won't give you a scare. Oh, it's Halloween.
It's beautiful.
And I want to tell you a joke before you croak.
Joke, all right.
Why the pumpkin has a dumb face? Because the brain and the seeds are of the skull.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Unbelievable.
All right. First of all, awesome.
Thank you.
Second of all, we have the Armenian comedian on the line.
And, oh, we do. And fantastic.
Sam, what? I didn't understand the joke. What was the joke at the end of that?
No, he's listening he's to his listening. Own song on the radio.
How many times have we told him to turn down the radio?
Oh. I don't know.
Sam!
20 years he's been coming on the show. Still doesn't know how the phone works.
Put him on hold. All right, so then what happened?
So then he's all like, yo, brother, I bring my own lyrics, brother. So I was like, okay, Sam, so.
1 second. Okay. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico, get on the line with Sam. Tell him to turn down his radio because he's an idiot.
All right,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. And so he had his lyrics prepared, so I got.
So he had a song written.
He had a song written, yeah. And I just kind of helped him along the way. Didn't really do much. Found some music, and this is what he came up with.
It's Halloween in America. It's a trick or treat time. It's Halloween in America. Everybody get around to be your own characters, like Superman or a Batwoman, Spider-Man or Snow White. Go around to the houses saying, trick or treat, trick or treat.
Wow.
That's a double-sided hit, you guys.
Unbelievable.
That's a double-sided hit right there. All right, should we try Sam again? Dare we go to the phones?
All those sound effects and the recorder and him making those sound effects all came from Sam.
That's all Sam. That's all Sam.
Sam, you there?
Hello. I got the cure of Ebola, first of all.
Okay, we're not talking about Ebola. That's not what this is about, Sam. Your Halloween songs are legitimately great, Sam. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I mean, you had a mid-career slump there of about 25 years, but I think you've returned to excellence.
I am better than ever.
Right, that's true. That's true, and not difficult. What was the joke in the first song at the end of it? I didn't understand it.
Us Armenians, we say the stupid people, dumb people, pumpkin head. And I was a little kid, I didn't understand why you call this dumb person a pumpkin head. And when I came to Halloween, in America, in Halloween, and I figured out the pumpkin head, the seeds and the brain is out.
Right, but the joke at the end of that first song, what was the joke?
Well, I think it was, why is a pumpkin head...
Some dumb or something.
Dumb or yeah, something. I mean, dumb. I think that he...
Oh, that was the joke.
Yeah, what he just said was...
Was the joke.
In the
I see.
Form of a joke.
Yeah, I think it's over our head, guys.
The brain seed is out. The brain is out.
I see.
Of the pumpkin head.
Okay.
All
right.
Same thing like this to the people we used to call it Tetumkoluch. That means pumpkin head.
Right.
Pumpkin head. Okay. Sam, I got to be honest. Now that I've heard your new material, I think you're wasting your time on the comedy. I think you should be doing music full time. I think that's really where your talents lie, sir.
I have music. I have a Sidecar Bandits on iTunes. NewVolMusic.com. I'm the Bob Marley of Armenia. Come on.
The Bob Marley of Armenia.
I am the Armenian comedian, and all I right. want to have a breakfast with you guys.
Yep.
So you have mentioned.
You.
We're working on that.
All right. Yeah, we'll get back to that. All right. Well, we just wanted to play your songs. We wanted to debut them here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. They are outstanding. How about Omar? Didn't he do a great job with you, Sam?
Absolutely. He reminds me of Lightning.
Let's not do that.
High praise.
All right, Sam. Well, listen, happy Halloween if we don't talk to you again, okay?
Happy Halloween. Good and
work.
Everybody, listen up in the houses. Don't give out bad candies to the kids because you're going to send them to the hospitals.
I think that's a good tip.
That's good advice, Sam. And Sam, remember, we're going to work on a Thanksgiving song, okay? So start writing that one.
Okay, and then also...
I can't take it. Really. Hang on 1 second. Hang on.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
Sounds pretty good now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56. Actor John Bernthal joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. He, of course, probably best known from Mob City and from playing Shane on The Walking Dead. He's one of the stars of this new film called Fury that's opening up this weekend. So we've got him on the way. Live music from Hozier later on today as well, and Adam Carolla. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
I want to be a Foo Fighter.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I want to join that band. I might just join it.
Seems like it'd be so much fun, doesn't it?
It does.
Can you just join if you want, or do they have to agree to it?
No, you just show up.
Just show up.
Yeah.
All right.
I was almost a Foo Fighter. Can we tell you a story?
No.
Dave Grohl and I were both attending a charity function, and I was doing the fundraising part of the live auction. And one of the items on the live auction was you could get up on stage, because Dave was going to play shortly. You get up on stage with Dave and jam a little bit. And so I was working the live auction. I was working the room trying to get the bids up. And the bidding had stalled. I forget what it was, a couple grand at that point or whatever. And I said, that's just not acceptable to get up on stage with Dave Grohl and perform. I said, I will spend the money myself, and I'll get up there before I will let it go for that low an amount.
That'd be pretty awesome.
I said, I will hop up there. And Dave came up, and we were talking at the microphone. I said, I'm going to get up there and sing with you guys. And he said, please don't. And I said, no, I'm going to do that. I said, you guys know Rick Springfield? You know Rick Springfield? And he's like, yeah, we know Rick Springfield. I said, we're going to play some Rick Springfield. He said, please don't do that. And then luckily someone bid more and
got
up there. And,
that's awesome.
Dave was like, whew. So he didn't have to play any Rick Springfield.
But, by the way, is there any song that Foo Fighters can't play?
No. They know everything and everybody.
Because you look at the list of the covers that they do in their regular concerts and everything. It's just, it's amazing how many songs they know.
And he knows a ton of Rick Springfield because he performed with Rick for the Sonic City concert and the documentary, because
that's right.
Rick recorded at Sound City. So anyway, the reason I bring it up is last night, all week long, he's performing on the Letterman Show, bringing special guests on to perform with them live, and it's just been amazing. Monday night, was Zach Brown. Last night, Ann and Nancy Wilson of the band Heart, who just rock, by the way, who just shred. Those two ladies.
It's unbelievable how good they still are.
Yeah.
Are they still doing music full time?
Heart? Yeah, they're out there all the time.
Okay.
They got up on stage doing a song called Kick It Out with the band, and boy, it just sounded great. Man, they still rock.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's a great Heart song.
And too. Dave doesn't sing on it, right?
No.
Just plays guitar.
The band's just backing them up on stage as they do the Heart song, Kick It Out, which is a great tune.
But all week long, they will be performing with their friends that they invite on the Letterman Show with them just to play a little music.
How about that? It's pretty cool. You should have joined when you had the chance.
I know. I should become a member.
Because they would have had you that like that one song, and they would have said, whoa, whoa, we don't want to go on now without Ralph.
We got to keep this guy around because he is the good luck charm.
Which they're lacking.
Yeah. Okay. They need some luck. That band needs a break. Amanda Bynes, according to TMZ, is in big, big trouble.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know.
You mean legal trouble?
No, medical trouble.
Oh, medical.
You know, her parents had her in conservatorship while she was struggling to get on her meds and get straightened out. And it looked like she did. Then she went off the rails again. Now, Amanda's doctors are going to petition a judge to get something that's called an LPS hold.
Which is what?
Which is something that the courts can grant at the behest of doctors, if the patient is gravely disabled as a result of a mental disorder or impairment. And this LPS hold will allow doctors to confine Amanda either at a hospital or another secure facility and administer meds against her will.
Oh, wow.
Because she does not want to go on her meds.
Right.
Her parents couldn't force her to take her meds, and so she chose not to, and that's apparently what happened. And she won't deal with her parents now. She hates them because they tricked her into coming into a mental hospital to get the help. Anyway, this hold could be effective for a year.
Wow.
As they try to get her back on her meds and get her back under control. So we'll have to wait and see. But she could be under medical supervision in a facility held against her will for a year if this hold goes through legally. But if that's what she needs, then I hope that's what she gets because she's obviously
that seems rough.
Troubled young lady. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 15th of Rocktober! Penny Marshall, the director, 71 years old today. Tito Jackson. Of all the Jacksons,
he was the talent, right?
Tito was the one. Tito was the one who drove. He was the engine of that machine.
Was he?
Yes.
Okay.
Ask anybody.
Okay.
61 years old today. Emeril Lagasse is 55. Stacey Peralta, skateboard legend, is 57. Vanessa Marsilles, 46. Dominic West from The Wire and now can be seen on Showtime in The Affair is 45 years old today. And Ginuwine celebrates 44 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
World War II. It's a topic that's always ripe for new interpretations. And this new film that's coming out on Friday called Fury looks like one of the best. We're very excited. Johnny Bernthal's on the phone. We're going to talk to him about the movie. Let's hear a little bit of that trailer, can we?
These troops get by you. We're all dead in the water. All we got is you. The deals are peaceful. History is violent.
It will end soon. But before it does, a lot more people got to die.
Well, you know, we do get $1.35 a day, right?
They're coming.
How many?
300 of them. There's five against 300.
Well, you never run before. Why are we going to run now?
We're still in this fight. Still in this fight!
Hard to imagine what it's like to be like 20 years old and out there fighting for the survival of the free world. I mean, it's just you can't put yourself in that mind space. But that's what our next guest had to do, John Bernthal from the movie Fury. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Fellas, thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Hey, it's our pleasure. This trailer, I mean, I've seen a couple of different versions of the trailer, looks unbelievably intense. And I would imagine, even though you know it's all Hollywood, it's make-believe, I would imagine you get pretty fired up making a movie like this.
Look, man, that's the deal, you know. I mean, that's that's definitely what we do. We try to get in as much as we can. At the end of the day, we're a bunch of monkeys who put on makeup and say lines for a living. So what you leave with is just an immense respect and reverence for the guys who did it for real and the guys who are doing it now. But yeah, our job was definitely to jump in as deeply as we could.
And speaking of protecting your fellow man, I mean, what must it be like? It looks like this movie is the story of a guy that's just never seen war, super young, has no idea what he's doing. I can't imagine what that's like in real life.
You know, I mean, it is definitely about a guy who gets thrown in with a bunch of animals, and our job is definitely to be those animals.
One of the things that I think is fascinating about this film and the reason I'm excited about seeing is with all the World War II movies we've seen in the past, I don't know that we've ever seen this story before of what it's like for a group of guys who work in a tank as a unit. I mean, we see tanks peripherally in lots of movies, but this really focuses on what that life is like. How many guys can fit into one of those things,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The whole movie, you know, we used a real 75-year-old Sherman tank, and the one thing that's kind of been uniform about all the military guys and tankers that we talk to is there's really no unit in the military closer than a tank unit. You don't pick your family, you don't pick your tank unit. What this movie is really about is a family. It's a family going through hell, kind of in a metal box, and it was one of the most dangerous jobs in World War II. At any second, it could go up like a Roman candle, and it was very essential for us to sort of spend as much time in that tank as possible. We slept in the tank, we ate in the tank, used the bathroom in the tank, and
Hold on, I'm sorry. Did you just say you used the bathroom in the tank?
Yeah, man, yeah. You gotta go. We really tried to just be in there as much as possible, and by the time the camera started rolling after pre-production, it was about as comfortable a place as you can imagine. But it's no joke in there.
I'm always shocked. I've been lucky enough to tour submarines before, and of course I've been up close and seen some of the capsules, you know, the lunar landing capsules and things like that. And it's unbelievable how tight the guys are in there that have to perform these duties hour after hour, day after day, week after week. I mean, you're not more than 6 inches away from the guy next to you.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I spent about 8 months with Brad Pitt's ass right in my face, man. It was something else.
That's not what anyone wants.
The movie was written and directed by a guy named David Ayer, who in fact was he's a vet and he served in a naval submarine. So I think that a lot of this sort of came from his experiences of claustrophobia and the tightness, both both literally how tight it is in there and how tight you get with the other guys when confined into a space like that. But I think that this movie very much, we wanted to spend, like I said, as much possible time in the tank. The one thing that was told to us about these tanks is that they're killing machines. They're built to kill anything outside of it. But the thing they don't tell you is they're also built to kill anything inside of it, too. And, with the turret moving, if your arm, your leg, your foot's in the wrong place, you can lose it just like that. The hatches weigh 75 pounds. You can lose a hand, lose a finger. And,
wow.
In tank training, all kinds of bad stuff can sort of go down. It's a pretty uncomfortable piece of machinery, but our job was to try to make it look like it was second nature and get as comfortable as we could in there.
So the movie is directed and written by David Ayer. You just mentioned that. At the risk of asking you to repeat yourself, you were on Jimmy Kimmel, and you said that this director likes you to literally fight each other in the morning?
Yeah, so we got out there about 3 months early for pre-production. So yeah, every day for 3 months there was
real fighting?
Yeah. Look, all of us, all the actors, kind of come from different, backgrounds in fighting. Some of us have been, boxing or done martial arts or wrestling. But yeah, he no matter what your background is, he kind of turns you all against, against each other. And the first 3 months, every day, you got to fight everybody. And I had to do some fighting with the karate sensei, Richard Mosqueda, and with the stunt guys as well. But, he just feels like there's no line in fighting, and there's nothing like, punching somebody in the face to get to you get to know them really well. You get to see their strengths and their weaknesses, and I think that it's sort of a fast. It provides an opportunity to kind of fast forward getting to know each other, and again, it's just he needed us to know each other really, really well, and I think fighting somebody, you figure out a lot about them.
How exactly did he bring that up the first time?
Well,
that wear makeup, I want you to fight each other
hit
every
Brad
morning.
Pitt in the face.
Yeah, I mean, it was just we knew it was going to be part of the deal, and obviously you got to be careful, and I don't think it's necessarily about like beating each other up, but it's how do you react when you're going up against somebody who's a little tougher than you? How do you react when you go up against somebody who's still learning? Who's a bully, who's not? You just figure each other out a lot. And, we knew what we were getting into. You know what you're getting into when you sign up for a David Ayer movie. But, I mean, look, man, I've been hit in the face so many damn times, I don't think it would have mattered. You could only make my face look better.
Right, but were there different rules for Brad Pitt?
Yeah, I mean,
let's
be
honest.
You don't want to be the guy. You don't want to be the guy that busts Brad Pitt's nose. You know what I mean? I definitely worked on his body. You know what I mean? I definitely you got to be respectful. That's the man.
So hit John in the face, but not Brad.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much.
All right.
This is the voice of John Bernthal here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the film called Fury that opens everywhere this Friday. I'm glad you brought up Mr. Ayers, too, because, I mean, the movies that he's been associated with from End of Watch and Training Day, and I guess he wrote The Fast and the Furious. I mean, this guy is a talent. I mean,
no question.
You must have been just jumping at the chance to do this film with him.
Yeah, he's one of the guys. Look, man, I've been real lucky with the directors I've gotten to work with, and he was definitely one of the guys that I had been dying to be a part of one of his films. I think he does what so many people out there in Hollywood try to do and can't do well, and that is, you know, make movies about sort of real men and brotherhood and issues, you know, put real men under stress. And I think, you know, he doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. Like I said, he's a combat vet, he's been through a lot in his life. He, you know, he's seen a lot in life, and you know, he's a really good leader for that kind of thing, and he really gets people to commit, and he really gets people to go to pretty dark places, and he's, you know, it's a dream to work with him. I was really honored.
They're so much manlier than we are, Kevin. Every one of them.
Oh, there's no question about that.
John, before we let you go, and we're so excited to have you on, and we're really looking forward to Fury. Do you keep in touch with your Walking Dead friends? Do you still watch the show?
Absolutely. The Walking Dead. All those, that they're family to me, you know. I keep in touch with them. I support them. I love them. I watch the show forever. Very grateful that I got to be a part of that show, and I'm actually very excited now that I get to be a fan. And I, my one rule is that I don't want them telling me what's going to happen next week, and that's very hard. Norman Reedus is guilty of giving stuff away to people.
Oh.
I tell them not to. Yeah,
you're like, hey, you're ruining it for me.
Exactly. Yeah, but no, I keep in touch with them. Those guys will always be family to me.
Well, it's wonderful that you got to be a part of that, and we still miss Shane. And it was such a treat when he popped back up a couple of episodes ago. It was awesome to see him again. So. All right, John, great to have you on the show. Congratulations on Fury. We can't wait to see it this weekend. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Hope you dig it.
Thank you. David Valdez from Los Alamitos. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin Amin Show. You have just scored a pair of front-of-line passes to Not Scary Farm. Got them for you every hour this morning and tomorrow here on K-Rock. Details at krock.com. Live music about an hour from right now from the band Hozier. Also, Carrie Elwes coming up, talking the anniversary of The Princess Bride. You know, number 27, that's the big one.
That is the
years.
Big one, yeah.
And Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, all still to come here this morning on K-Rock.
Let's talk about mistaken identity. Some celebrities get mistaken for other celebrities. That happens a lot. We've also had celebrities in here who people go, where do I know you from? And then they have to start going through their resume and they go, nope, that's not it. Nope. Mm-hmm. But I mistook just a regular person for a celebrity. And I
mean, somebody not as good as a celebrity you mistook for a celebrity?
No, I'm saying a non-celebrity.
You upgraded that human? Wow.
No, I'm saying a non-celebrity who I think I scare the hell out of.
What happened?
It was at opening night of the King season, and I saw Sarah Shahi. And I love Person of Interest.
We love her for Person of Interest, yeah.
And my dumbass doesn't get around to the front to see her face. I just assume it's her, even though I know she's in New York and they're shooting the show now. And
wait,
I've never seen her at a Kings game.
Hold on a sec.
All right.
Did you think you recognized her from her ass or something?
I can't tell you what the thought process was.
Because if you didn't see her face,
I saw like a side face.
A quick profile shot, and you thought, oh, that's Sarah Shahi.
Right, just instantly. Like, my mind said, that's her.
And there was no, hey, that looks like her, I wonder if it is?
No, that's what you would
bypass
do.
That step.
I bypass that step and go right to the embarrassing and scary part.
Okay, what did you do?
So, her character's name on Person of Interest is Shaw. So I yelled, hey, Shaw! And the girl about pooped her pants. I mean, she freaked.
Oh.
And she turned around and I was like, oh, my bad.
Because there's a giant vanilla gorilla coming at her, probably in for the smother hug if I know you.
How dare you, first of all. And second of all, it was embarrassing for me, but it must have frightened her to death.
I'm sure.
And I'm sure that I can't be the only one that's done that, right?
Oh, certainly.
You
not.
See somebody and you think it's a celebrity and you say something and then it turns out that that's not that person at all.
I, bet that happens often. I bet there are a lot of people who get mistaken for a celebrity. I mean, if you're out there and you're, you know, 6'4" and you have red hair, somebody somewhere is going to think you're Conan O'Brien or whoever we're talking about. Right. I mean, I bet that happens all the time where people get approached because they are thought to be a celebrity. And certainly I'm sure we have listeners who have done the exact same thing.
We'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you mistook somebody's identity. They also... there's also an article here about celebrities that get mistaken for other celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
Keira Knightley says that she gets mistaken for Natalie Portman.
I can totally see that.
I can see that.
I guess.
And Britney Spears. And I can't really see that.
Not at all in
By the
any
way.
Right.
That would feel – you would feel bad if you were a celebrity and somebody came up and said, oh, my God, I recognize you. I'm a huge yep. fan of yours, and maybe even asked to sign an autograph or something like that. And then you realize they think you're a different celebrity. That would be very awkward, I think.
Keira Knightley says occasionally she would feel bad for the person, so she would just sign Natalie Portman's name.
just so That's
that,
so
like,
weird.
Because you don't want them to feel bad. Yeah. So she's like, oh, yeah, it's great to meet you. And she would just sign her name. That's a little odd, but – you know, you can see if she didn't want to make him feel bad. That's
yeah,
she
and
do
she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to extend the encounter with a big explanation
right.
of "No, no, that's not me. I'm this girl from this movie." I can understand that.
Yeah, it seems like that would be a nightmare, and especially in this city,
mm-hmm.
it seems like there are a lot of people that confuse celebrities or confuse regular people that look like celebrities.
I think I'd have to be – I mean, I'm not the type of – and again, we're taking your calls if you've ever done this or been the victim of this. Somebody thought you were the celebrity. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not the type of person who – I mean, you kind of know Sarah Shahi.
Right.
You've interviewed her and whatnot. So, I don't think it's so weird that you would say hello to her if you ran into
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I wish I would have just said hello, though, instead of yelling.
But I'd have to be awfully sure that it
yeah.
really was the person before I made that step.
Sure. I was sure in a half of a second of not seeing her.
You
I was
committed.
Positive. Yeah, I was all in.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to hear what our listeners come up with. 1-800-520-1067. You've been on the Kevin end of the stick, or you've been on this poor random woman who wasn't Sarah Shahi's end of the stick at the Kings game the other night. We'll take your calls and talk to you next on K-Rock. Taking your calls this morning here on the show at 1-800-520-1067. If you have ever run up to a regular person that you were convinced they was a celebrity and started talking to him or her and then found out that it wasn't the person that you thought it was.
Or somebody ran up to you and thought you were a celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
And you
well,
were.
That's not the button I meant to hit at all.
Do they get paid when that happens? Or
however,
I don't understand.
I did mean to hit this button because the kind of guy you're describing is our friend Bob in Anaheim. He's on line 8. He gets mistaken for a celebrity all the time. Let's find out what that must be like for him. Hey, Bob.
Doc, you made a time machine out of a DeLorean? Hi, they call me Michael
Back to
J.
the future.
Fox sometimes.
Michael J. Fox.
Really?
Yep.
And yep. He's so recognizable, so well-known, so famous, I'd be surprised that mistake would be made.
Well, I do look like him, well, even better about 20 pounds ago. definitely, you know, when he was more in his family tie days.
Sure,
and
I gotcha, gotcha.
I had the hair thing going on. I had the feathered do and all that.
Were you doing it on purpose so that you could look like Michael J. Fox?
Yep. A little bit.
Yes, you were.
Now, let me see if I can figure out how to ask this question delicately, Bob, but was there ever anybody who came up to you that it would have behooved you to be Michael J. Fox, if you take my meaning?
No, by that time I was definitely with a very interested and very married. So
Okay. All right. That's funny, though. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Jerry. He's up next. He's on line 7 in Downey.
All right. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Thank you.
Hi.
Mistaken identity. What happened?
I've been told that I look like Johnny Depp.
Me too.
That doesn't hurt.
I mean, that's one thing to say you look like Johnny Depp. Has anyone actually thought you were, like, asked for an autograph or a photo or anything?
Well, one time I was at a museum just looking at the exhibits, walking around, and then after a while I noticed this family had been following me around.
A family was following you.
And they were tourists from France, so they just came up and said, "Hey, Mr. Depp, can we take a picture with you?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "I'm not Johnny Depp." And they weren't having that. So eventually...
Wait. So you told them you weren't Johnny Depp and they didn't believe you?
They didn't believe me, no.
That's awesome. That's even more awkward. Look, I'm not Johnny Depp. I'm not kidding.
So then eventually I played along with them and I indulged them and took a picture with
nice.
them.
Good for you. Nice. You should be nice to your fans, Johnny. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's go to Kim on line five. Her story is interesting because it involves a celebrity, you guys, who mistook her for a celebrity.
Oh, all right. Kim, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Who was the celebrity?
Andy Dick.
Okay, and Andy Dick thought you were?
Laura Prepon from That 70s Show. I'm a tall redhead with long hair.
Oh. Okay.
So what did he do?
I was waiting in line to see a Kids in the Hall show back when That 70s Show was still back on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a reunion show at UCLA, and so I was standing in line waiting, and he came up behind me, like, pushed me from behind, and then turned around, looked at my face, and went, ah!
So that's not what you want when somebody sees your face.
No, but, you know, it was Andy Dick, so I just kind of wrote it off.
Yeah. So like Kevin, he identifies his celebrities just from their butts, it sounds like. He doesn't even wait to see their face. He's like, oh, I know that ass.
How do I ask this? Was he in any way impaired?
In the short fleeting moment I, you know, encountered him, I could not tell.
Okay. All right.
So
gotcha.
Probably.
Okay. Thank you for the call. It's funny, by the way, I don't even think about Laura Prepon as being on That 70s Show anymore. To me, she's so Orange is the New Black now. Like, That's the only way I think of her. All right. Let's go to Ruby Fontana, line three. Kevin, you in particular are going to enjoy this celebrity.
Hey,
Lisa. Hey, Ruby.
Okay. So I thought I was serving Carl Weathers.
You thought you were serving your waitress?
I'm a waitress, yes. And, I had this older gentleman come in with his wife, and I convinced all of my coworkers. I was like, oh, my God, I'm serving Carl Weathers. We were singing the Ghostbusters song from the back loud enough so he could hear. And every time we would pass, we'd make Ghostbuster references. And finally, at the end of this meal, I was like, this is going to bother me all day. I have to ask you something. Are you Carl Weathers? And he was just like, who? I was like, Carl Weathers.
At the risk of sounding like an idiot, I don't think
exactly.
Carl Weathers was in Ghostbusters.
No, he was Apollo Creed from the Rocky movie.
Right.
Oh.
So I'm really confused by what you thought you were seeing.
So you thought it was Carl Weathers,
and you thought he was
in a movie that he wasn't in.
I referenced the wrong movie, yes.
Were you thinking of Ernie Hudson, maybe?
Maybe.
Ruby's the female me.
Yep.
Now, Kevin, do you have a question about Carl Weathers that you want to ask, though?
I don't.
Did you ask him if he had a wooden hand?
All right. Good. Let's move on.
All right. Let's go to Sam on line one in L.A. He gets mistaken for a celebrity all the time. Let's find out what that's like.
Hey, Sam.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
I'm back.
It's our friend Sam. He's back. Hey. He moved back from Texas, you guys. He doesn't live in Texas anymore.
He hung up already. He left, and we had a big farewell, and then now he's back.
Sure did. We sure did. All right. Let's talk to Adam on line four, Redondo Beach. His story involves another celebrity as well. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
So mine was with Katie Holmes. I was actually hanging out with her for an hour, and I didn't even know who she was. I kept thinking she was like my friend's girlfriend or somebody else, and I didn't understand. I just thought she was really cute and didn't know why no one was talking to her. So I was hanging out with her, and took maybe an hour until somebody told me after she left who she was.
Wow. Oh, so this is the opposite of what we're talking about. You're talking about a celebrity that you thought was a regular person.
Yeah, we were drinking heavily at this place called Sharky's in Hermosa. And
sure.
I might have had something
there.
To do with it.
Yep.
It was definitely a Kevin moment.
I love how they're being referred to as a Kevin moment now.
I don't love it quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, she was just so sweet and so nice, too. And that little toque she has, little crooked, just makes it so just, you know, right after everyone told me who she was, it just kind of light went on. It was really embarrassing. But
somebody's got a crush. And by the way, to me, she'll always be Joey from Dawson's Creek. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was. That was around that time too, just pre Tom Cruise, pre you know all the craziness type of thing.
Sure,
so,
that's awesome. All right, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's just do one more. How about if we don't even have time, do we? We're out of time because we got a big hour coming up. Carrie Elwes is going to be talking Princess Bride right after the top of the hour, and then live music on the Kevin and Bean Show from Hozier. You know, he was just on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, and now he's doing the Kevin and Bean Show. Going to be performing live next hour right here on K-Rock.
And now a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this
go
is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Good times. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I wonder how it feels, though, to Kevin when we have to go back like 4 or 5 years to get a moment with Bean. You got to reach back.
I'm used to it, Ralph. I really am.
Blow the dust off the moments with Bean. But Kevin's, we have like, yesterday this happened. And we just play it. It's like fresh as today's headlines.
Muggs, I would like you to do an accurate count of how many, not for right now, but how many moments I have versus everyone else in the show.
Okay.
Because I'm guessing I have 100 to everybody else's one.
Well, I don't know.
I bet I've got a dozen of them, I bet.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I had a dozen last week.
I have three or four.
Like four.
At least it has annoying. That one.
Yeah.
Lisa has a couple.
Yeah.
It's all
but Lisa's.
Hers are good.
They are spectacular,
Lisa's
right?
Make me laugh harder than almost anybody's, really. For some reason, I think because they're so rare.
Lisa is like the Kansas City Royals. Rarely gets to the playoffs, right. But when they win the World Series.
Right.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a, what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Yay!
Matters to the person in collision.
Yes, it did.
I would guess.
A lot.
They probably weren't listening to me.
As if there is enough reasons to hate Taylor Swift, here's another one.
How dare you?
By the way, just to keep everything straight, because I know people can't tell us apart. Ralph, Kevin... Not fans of Taylor Swift.
That's
that is
right.
Bean every time.
And the rest of America who love her.
She is now going to be shutting down Hollywood Boulevard on Thursday.
Yes.
Because traffic in Hollywood is not quite snarled enough.
Yes.
They will be shutting down Hollywood Boulevard so that she can perform in the street for Jimmy Kimmel Live. Doesn't he have a giant... massive stage behind his theater.
In a giant parking lot right behind the theater.
Can't
yes.
she just do it there, please?
Apparently not.
Why does she have to stop traffic?
She's an evil succubus.
She is an evil succubus. You're absolutely right, sir. Speaking of evil, Javier Bardem will be playing the villain in the upcoming Pirates of the Caribbean film, Dead Men Tell No Tales. This is the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Jim.
That's crazy, no.
How many of them have been good, you guys?
I enjoyed 1 and 3.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed the first one.
First one I liked a lot.
First one
second
was...
I thought dipped a little bit. Third one was the second one with Bill Nighy as Davy Jones.
That I don't know.
Whichever one that was. I liked that one a lot.
I think that was the second.
Was that the second one?
I thought it was five.
I don't know.
You
anyway,
said five?
Yeah, this is
not
the fifth.
Wow.
So, I don't know if Javier Bardem's in it, though.
Yeah, he's great.
Johnny Depp, of course, returning as Captain Jack Sparrow. Jeffrey Rush is also returning as Captain Barbossa. So, there's something to be said.
One of the most successful film franchises of all time, right?
Absolutely. And, Friday, speaking of successful franchises.
Wow. Sweet.
Hollywood Babylon.
That was nice.
Friday at the Improv.
USA!
Thank you so
USA!
Much.
USA!
Kevin Smith and I returning to the stage at the Improv Friday night at 10 p.m. is Hollywood Babylon at 8 p.m. If you want to come out early and catch another show, we're doing our live reading of the brand new comic book Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet issue number 5.
Hell no!
So that's at 8 at 10 o'clock. It's Hollywood Babylon. Come on stage and join us. We have a good time.
No way. Not ever.
And this is the weirdest... rap feud ever has broken out. Most random rap feud in the world.
A new rap feud?
Yes.
All right.
Two rappers with a beef that you would not expect. Snoop Dogg and Iggy Azalea.
Are in a feud?
They're in a rap battle.
They have
beef?
What? How? What?
I get the sense Snoop Dogg doesn't like her.
Okay.
I think it stems back from a story that she continues to tell where she says that her bodyguard saved the life of a friend of Snoop's in a hotel fire in Canada by kicking down the door and saving the guy's life.
Okay.
Snoop says he was the one who saved the guy's life, and Iggy's bodyguard had already left with her. Now, she's been telling this story, and he doesn't like that, so he did post a picture this weekend on Instagram showing an albino African-American woman with cornrow braids saying, Iggy Azalea with no makeup was the message on the picture. She did not like that, and she came back and blasted him. Why would you be? Why would you post such a mean pic on Instagram when you send your bodyguards to ask me for pictures every time where it shows? I'm disappointed you'd be such an ass for no reason.
Oh, it's on.
Then Snoop tweeted a picture of Marlon Wayans from White Girls. Saying, are we just going to ignore that Iggy Azalea looks like Marlon from White Chicks?
I think Snoop wins that one.
Well, it's on now, and he has released a video message for Iggy Azalea.
Uh-oh.
I will play for you as much as we can.
Okay.
Without losing our license from the FCC. Here you go.
Say, bitch. You f*** with the wrong and your better check you for what I do. You f***, bitch. Yeah, you.
What the hell?
He's not overreacting, is he, Ralph?
A little bit, I think. And he needs to smoke some more weed. He's very agitated.
Yeah. I don't
how
know
can
that
he be that stoned and get that angry.
Can he smoke more weed?
I mean,
is that a physical possibility?
Maybe he's reached the limit. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's just topped off. He can't get any higher, and that's why he's so cranky. Today's celebrity birthdays, these stars born on the 15th of Rocktober!
Had it ready, man. He's on it.
Ginuwine's 44 years old today. Dominic West is 45. Vanessa Marcil is 46 years old. Stacey Peralta, the skateboard legend, is 57. Emeril Lagasse, bam! TV chef is 55. Tito Jackson of the Jackson 5 and legendary Jackson family, 61 years old today. Penny Marshall, film director of such movies as League of Their Own and Big, 71 years old today. Of course, don't forget she was also Laverne.
Yeah. Sure.
Laverne and Shirley. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Live music in our studios, actually down the hall at the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Hozier is going to be performing for us, fresh off his performance on Saturday Night Live this week, and that is coming up. Adam Carolla at 9 o'clock. First, though, 27 years ago this week, you guys, a movie was released called The Princess Bride.
Inconceivable that it's been that long.
27 years already, Ralph. It has been one of the most beloved films of all time, and there's now a new book about it called As You Wish, written by, well, one of the stars of the movie, Carrie Elwes, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you for having me on your show.
It's our pleasure, and of course, 27 years, that is the magic anniversary that needs to be appreciated, right? I mean, that's why you wrote the book. You said, 27, can't let that one pass.
I know. By the way, Ralph, your impersonation of Vincini is extraordinary.
Yes. You're very kind, Carrie. Thank you so much.
All of his impressions are good.
I am such a huge fan of this film, as many people are, and it is a film that has only seemed, Carrie, to have grown in like emotional impact for those of us who love it. It has become larger than even its success when it was released.
I know. It's incredible. Honestly, I think I can speak for everyone involved in the film that we all feel unbelievably blessed. And I mean, I call it the gift that keeps on giving.
Was it a hit when it first came out?
It was not a hit when it first came out, surprisingly. The film did modestly well at the box office and then kind of disappeared. And it didn't really find its legs until the VHS market began to take off. And then this film that had been mostly dead suddenly came back to life.
That's so weird.
I mean, it was extraordinary. I remember I was in Manhattan in a restaurant, and I was ordering a hamburger, and the waitress said, how do you want that cooked? And I said, medium rare. And she goes, as you wish. And I said, what did you say? And she said, you know, and winked at me and walked off, and I was blown away.
And you talk about this in the book, but part of the problem wasn't the film. Everyone who saw the film loved the film, but the movie company just couldn't figure out how to advertise the thing because it was so many genres rolled into one, right?
Well, it's a tough, you know, even Bill Goldman, the incredible screenwriter and author who wrote the script, warned us that this was an oddball story. And he, you know, we knew we had something on our hands that was special, that we loved. We didn't know it would become this thing that it's become now, but we felt it was something special. But the marketing department at the studio was stumped. I mean, was it a kids movie? Was it a fairy tale? Was it a comedy, an action adventure? Was it an adult movie? They didn't know which genre to focus on. So they ended up printing up a poster, a sort of Maxfield Parrish type poster of Peter Falk's grandfather reading to his grandson Fred Savage in silhouette,
and nobody got it.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see an old man reading to a kid, turns out.
They were like, yeah, what's that, you know? And it went away.
Was that depressing for everybody? Like, hey, this was better than the response.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, we were all very saddened by that. Listen, you can't fault the marketing department. They didn't know how to market a film that had that many genres. They've never been faced with that kind of dilemma before, you know. So, it's really the fans who picked up on it. In cable and in VHS, they started buying copies and giving it to their friends and family. And now, my gosh, the merchandising for this thing, my goodness me, if we had a nickel on the merchandising, we could all retire. I mean, it's extraordinary.
But you mentioned, Carrie, that it is a film that everyone quotes now. So many of the lines have become part of the vernacular. That do you ever get tired of fans coming up and quoting back moments from the film that they love to you?
Never, never. Listen, I feel blessed. I think you're lucky as an actor to have anyone resonate with a role you've played or a film you've been in. And I look at it as a blessing. Like I said, it's unbelievable. I meet fans, whole families. I mean, it's like that's another thing, by the way. It's a family movie. It's a film that families can sit down and watch together, which is rare today.
Yeah.
And they can all enjoy it on a different level, yeah? I meet families who have watched it together. I meet people who have the lines from the film tattooed all over their body. I mean,
wow.
It's insane. It's insane.
Wow. This is the voice of actor Cary Elwes and author Cary Elwes on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his book that has just been released this week called As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride. And this isn't just your viewpoint and your memories from the book. I mean, you talked to pretty much everyone who's still with us about the film. And you really covered it from every angle, Cary.
Well, I can't take credit for the book completely. I did co-write it with a wonderful author by the name of Joe Layden, but neither of us can take all the credit because, as you say, the rest of the cast and the filmmakers all stepped up to be a part of the book, and you know, I feel overwhelmed by and humbled by their response, really. So I think for fans, it's kind of the definitive making of book. I think.
Do you guys still feel a connection, the cast together? Is there a certain familial sense having been involved with this?
Oh my gosh! Oh, absolutely. It's for us. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You know.
Yeah.
We all were touched by something magical, and. And it's the fans that have taken this film to another level. I mean, it's as I say, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It must be so satisfying for you as an actor, though, to see how well so many of your co-stars have done. When you're flipping around the dial at home, Cary, and you come across, you know, Robin on House of Cards or Mandy over there on Homeland or, you know, Billy Crystal or Christopher Guest, whatever they're all doing. I mean, the casting director should have really gets a lot of credit for putting that unbelievable cast together of obviously very talented actors that had the skills to go the distance.
Well, that's Rob Reiner. I mean, he's an extraordinary man anyway as a human being, but he's a wonderful director, and he handpicks the cast for all of his films. In fact, he handpicked most of the crew for the film because he knew we were going on this special journey together, and he wanted to make sure it was going to be fun and enjoyable for everyone.
You were relatively unknown at that time, weren't you, in America?
Yes, I was clearly the novice. I mean,
were you nervous about, you know?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, you know, look at as the cast you mentioned. I mean, it was Mandy Patinkin already won a number of awards, yeah?
Yep.
Including a Tony and his Chris Sarandon, who was nominated for his very first performance as Leon in Dog Day Afternoon. His Chris Guest, who I watched a gazillion times already in Spinal Tap.
Right.
And Billy Crystal, of course. And I was nervous.
And they were all...
I was nervous.
They were all going, who's this Cary? Does anyone know him?
You and Robin were sort of the rookies, right?
Well, even she had more experience than I had because she had been on a soap called Santa Barbara.
Right, right.
And she'd done a number of years on that. So, I mean, you know, and on a soap, by the way, you sometimes shoot, you know, hundreds of pages of scenes a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's a terrific book for anyone, as Ralph mentioned, and it's hard to find someone who doesn't love this movie. It is a great read and is available now. And by the way, Princess Bride is out on Blu-ray, and that's you can see that. They released that for the 25th anniversary a couple years ago. And it must be so strange as we say goodbye to you, Cary. I mean, What actor has such a bipolar career that your two most recognizable roles would be probably the Princess Bride and the Saw movies? I mean, it must be insane when somebody walks up to
bipolar.
You.
It's bipolar. It's pretty bipolar. And by the way, Saw is being re-released this Halloween for 1 week only as a special 10-year anniversary. So for those of you who never got to see it on the big screen, that's the way it should be seen.
And, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for writing the book and for coming on, and thank you for you know, great career, and especially for the Princess Bride. We're happy to talk about it again, sir.
Thank you for having
and
me.
And have fun storming the castle.
Here's a WaterWise garden tip from your friendly garden experts at Armstrong Garden Center. Save water in your garden and reduce weeds by applying a 2 to 3 inch layer of mulch. For more WaterWise garden tips, visit your neighborhood Armstrong Garden Centers. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
It is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Wait, can we do more mulch talk with Lisa May?
Kevin gave me this look at the end and I started to crack up.
Well, how are you doing, Lisa?
She's telling us about mulch.
What's happening right
how,
now?
I don't need to know how to garden.
Look, it's
what's
water.
Going on?
Water is important,
all right,
people.
Take
listen
it easy.
Up.
Stop all right,
talking
stand,
about mulch.
Drought.
Stand down, Lisa. Stand down.
Dear God, woman.
This is going to be fun. For many weeks now, we've been playing a song here on K-Rock called Take Me to Church that the kids just love. And now it's time to meet the man behind the song. Ladies and gentlemen, Hozier joins us in studio yeah. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, sir. How
Hello.
Are you?
Hey, good. Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure to have you. First of all, I want to know you. About your little town in Ireland. Tell me, I've not been to Bray. What's that all about?
Yeah, Bray. Bray is actually where I went to school, but I'm actually from a place which is further south and more in the countryside. So Bray is a nice seaside town. It's kind of there's a lovely seafront and a place called Brayhead, which is
small town though, low population.
It's much smaller than Dublin, but it's definitely worthy of the word town. I think, the main town.
what kind of music industry does it have there? I mean, is there much?
Bray would be, you know, there's a couple bars where people play.
That's
know.
It.
Oh yes, yeah. So, you know, singer songwriters, a couple bands and stuff.
I'm always fascinated with how people grow up in a tiny place and they go, hey, I can make music and get out of here. Like, how do you even get that idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
was that your idea?
I don't know. It was so hard to kind of look ahead. But I just wanted to make music that I could be proud of and hope that I could make music that people would enjoy as much as I have enjoyed music. You know what I mean? And that's the ultimate kind of the biggest achievement would be making something that somebody else could enjoy as much as you have enjoyed.
But I can't imagine what must have been going through your head. You started recording in your attic, right?
Yes.
So now you're in your attic and you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Recording music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And cut to today. I mean, you know, you're on Saturday Night Live and all this other stuff that's happened.
Yeah, no, it's quite a turnaround, yeah. I was incredibly fortunate. So I think with the internet and with just with sharing and the video went, you know, got a lot of places very quickly, and there's no borders on the internet, you know what I mean? So something gets as quickly to your next door neighbor as it does to somebody here in LA
yeah.
from Witho, you know?
And that's what happened, is you made a little video for Take Me to Church and put it up and it just took off from there?
Yes, yeah, yeah. So the video was filmed by a team called Feel Good Lost, who are based in Cork in Ireland, and we just sat down and talked about the video treatment, and I think it moved a lot of people,
and then television shows started playing it, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was on Leftovers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been very, very fortunate. I, to be honest, I can't explain how it happens.
Does it feel like it's happened fast for you, or are you one of those 10-year overnight successes that we run into from time to time?
I wouldn't be quite a 10-year overnight success. I actually thought that this would take me 5 to. You know, in that way, I mean, all the vocals on Take Me to Church were still are just the attic vocals. You know what I mean? And
right.
A huge amount of the elements on the album are the attic elements. And in that regard, it's you know what I mean. I've been at this for many years and writing since I was a young teenager and working with different producers and learning about recording and songwriting.
How many songs would you guess, round guess, that you have written before this breakout?
I don't.
Is it 10? Is it 100?
Oh, much, much more. It wouldn't be. I don't know if it'd be 100, but it'd be you know, just 60 maybe or something like
wow.
that.
Wow. So, do you have any mulch tips?
most. Yeah.
Some water wise suggestions you can make for us.
Yes, yeah.
Speaking of water, you were out in the Joshua Tree yesterday, which is one of the most beautiful parts of California. Had you ever seen an environment like that before?
Never, never. So yeah, that was new to me, and it's always amazing to get an actual opportunity to see. You know, to see America when you're on tour, see anywhere when you're on tour, because it can be so hectic.
Forgive me
so.
If this is a hack question, but was some of the attraction of going to the Joshua Tree because of the connection with you two from your country?
It's not a hack question, but it wasn't. I have to say, no, it was. We were filming a music.
So you hate you two? That's what you're saying?
No,
we're just kidding.
It was for a music video, so we went out there to do a few shots. In an old kind of beat up Dodge, like an old maybe late 70s Dodge or something like that. Great.
Do you enjoy making videos, Hosier?
Videos honestly are I think a lot of musicians, it's a difficult one because it's I love working with new mediums and working with people creatively, but it's very hard when it's not my medium, so it's very hard when you don't have control of something or it can feel like a lottery. You know what I mean?
Do you have creative control? I mean, do they
certainly, yeah.
See how it came out?
Certainly, yeah.
No, that's not my intention at all.
But in music and stuff, I'm there present for every aspect of it. And
right.
And I can be as much of an anal control freak as I want to be with video and stuff. It's, you know. And also,
it is interesting, though, that we live in such a multimedia world that, I mean, a guy who can write songs and sing, and you're great at both of those things, doesn't mean necessarily that you have any interest or talent to make music videos. I mean, you're asked to do a lot as an entertainer in the 21st century.
Yeah. No, I've been fortunate so far. I mean, Take Me to Church was very successful. I think part of it is musicians are, when they're on, say, album promo runs, they labels decide what the singles are, and then you have to squeeze in making the video somewhere on that schedule, and it can be very quick and stressful.
Sure. Tell us about Saturday Night Live. What was that?
That was amazing. That was a dream come true. So,
is that a show you were familiar with? It's not on in Ireland, right?
It's not aired, but I mean, thankfully the internet exists. Which is nice. But I'm very aware of Saturday Night Live, and I was a big Blues Brothers fan from a very very young age, and kind of, you know, finding out where they came from and stuff, and that's how I actually first found out about SNL.
Cast member were you most excited to meet this weekend?
This weekend, I would have to say Bill Hader, you know what I mean.
He's the best.
Just because he was back and, you know, and hosting, and but Christian Wiig was there. But then I was freaked out of my mind because, like, Seth Rogen was there, all of Bill Hader's friends and stuff, and Ed Catmull, Paul Rudd was there. Exactly.
Did you feel like, when are they going to realize I don't belong here?
Oh, totally. Yeah. How did they let me in here?
This is the voice of Hosier here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know the song "Take Me to Church." The debut album is out now. You do have some shows coming up, but not that it helps anyone listening now because everything's sold out. Including you've already sold out a show for February at the Fonda Theater. You already have a U.S. tour planned for next year, it looks
yes.
like.
Yes, yeah. Which is selling out fast, I gotta say.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. I've been very, very fortunate, and so something that I'm so excited to, like, I'm always very excited to come over here. The response to shows and the support from people over here has been absolutely mind-blowing.
By the way, not for everybody. But for talented people, that is true. I mean, seriously.
And we say this all the time, but it's exciting for us to have an artist come along that actually writes and sings music. And it's not all 10 producers and 40 writers, you know, to make something that just sounds like everything else on the radio. I mean, when your song comes on, you go, wow, that's different and it's new and it's fresh. And we really appreciate that and are grateful for that.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's really... really nice of you.
Well, we're happy to have you here, and we're going to walk down the hall to the Red Bull Sound Space. You've seen that. I guess you warmed up down there. It looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's a cool looking room. I like it.
And you're going to do a couple numbers for us?
Yes.
Absolutely. We are excited. Hosier is here. We'll be playing live. Well, he'll be playing live. We'll be enjoying it when we return right after this at the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
We are live at the Red Bull Sound Space. Hosier is here for some live music on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Thank you.
crowds with folks around when they're playing the anthems of rape culture loud, crude and proud creatures baying. All I've ever done is hide from my times when you're near me. Honey, when you kill the lights and kiss my eyes, I feel like a person for a moment of my life. But you don't know what hell you put me through to have someone kiss the skin that crawls from you, to feel your weight in arms I'd never use. It's the God that heroin prays to. It feels good.
That's ridiculous. He's faking it. That didn't happen. That's not real. That wasn't done live.
That's called To Be Alone from the new album by Hozier. And he's got another song to play now.
Hey, before you play again, Hozier, you can hear me, right? Yes, you're so young. How did you get exposed to so much non-rock and roll music as such a young person? Who led you to blues and jazz and those other things that we hear in your music?
It would have been my dad and his record collection. So he played a lot of blues music.
Well, he's the coolest then. You have him to thank. That's awesome. Yeah. That was amazing. That was really, really great. Hosier's in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. What's the deal, Kevin? What do we find out about how people can see this if they want to?
We are videotaping and we're going to put it up online. I'm not exactly sure when.
Today, Cody? Today?
What? Huh?
A couple days
it's going to take for the turnaround.
Legal stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We'll let you know when it's up.
We have time for another. What would you like to play, as if I can't guess?
I'm going to play Take Me to Church.
Yes. Good choice.
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love you, command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lies. I'll tell you my sins and you can show up in your night. Offer me that stuff. Something shiny, something meaty for the main course. That's a fine looking high horse. What you got in the stable? We've a load of starving faithful. That looks tasty, that looks plenty. This is hungry work. Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog. Soar of that sad earthly sea. Only then I am human. Only then I am clean. Oh, amen.
How good did that sound?
That's extraordinary. That's outstanding. That is Hozier here on the Kevin and Bean Show, live from the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. So great to meet you. Would your advice be to other musicians who may be listening today to do as you did and drop out of college and just double down on making it in the industry?
No, I would never advise it.
Really? Because it seems to have worked out pretty darn well for you, sir.
I know. I've no regrets. but if you do, you'll have many, many years of idleness ahead of you. But I think it's important to maybe to take time and know what exactly it is you want out of yourself. And out of
good advice. Yeah. And have a backup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, this has really been fun. We really appreciate you coming by, and hopefully we'll see you again when you come back to town at the Fonda in February. Thanks so much for the time today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. What's going on, Ralph?
This whole scramble.
What's going on?
The whole showbiz beat is missing.
The whole showbiz beat. Yeah. So all the paperwork.
The stack of papers that I read the showbiz beat from.
I thought you were just looking for your
that
marker.
Is missing. No, the Sharpie's right here.
You have
but the
Sharpie.
Showbiz beat.
What
is,
happened?
Well, they missing.
Probably moved it because we had a guest there.
Yeah, I'm guessing someone moved it.
I'm looking.
Thank you. Got it.
Fire beer mug.
Fire beer mug indeed.
Well, that wasn't even my fault.
Well,
who cares?
Still. Before I get to the showbiz beat, how about going to see Hilarity for Charity? Not only does it rhyme, but it is a hell of a good cause. Seth Rogen, along with some of his amazing friends, have put together this event to raise money for awareness for Alzheimer's amongst a younger generation. It is a horrible, horrible disease that needs to be snuffed out. And this is raising money to battle not only Alzheimer's through the Alzheimer's Association, but also monies raised will be directed to help families that are struggling with Alzheimer's care, which can be the most brutal part of this horrible disease. It is a great cause. You should go get your tickets at hilarityforcharity.org. But if you don't want to donate money to a worthy cause, if you're a dick and you would like free tickets, then just call now 1-800-520-1067. I've got one pair of tickets to give away to see the show this Friday night at the Palladium. Seth Rogen, Sarah Silverman, Craig Robinson, Bill Burr, just very funny people for a very good cause. Hilarityforcharity.org, once again, is where you should go if you want to donate or buy tickets. In case you don't win, but 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call.
You do have to admit to Chip that you're a dick, though.
Yeah. Say, I'm a dick.
To get the tickets.
And then you win the tickets. And then if you do win the tickets, you should still donate some money to the hilarityforcharity.org website, because you're taking money away from families who are trying to help care for people with Alzheimer's disease. And
like Kevin's wife.
Imagine what Kevin's wife has to go through.
How
horrible that must be. Speaking of which, I know this performer means nothing to anyone who listens to our show.
Oh, good. Let's talk about it for a long time then.
But he is an icon, and he means a lot to people that do mean a lot to people who listen to this show.
Okay.
And that actually works if you diagram that sentence.
So tangentially, they matter to people that matter to us.
The guy's name is Glenn Campbell. He's a legendary singer, songwriter, musician who has been – he's in the Hall of Fame. He's been around forever. He was an enormously popular session musician before he ever became a star in his own right. But the reason I bring this up, and because it's connected to Hilarity for Charity, he is currently suffering from Alzheimer's disease. He just got moved into a full-time care facility because his family could no longer take care of him. But before he left us, and really that's what the insidious part of Alzheimer's is that you know, people leave before they're gone. He is no longer with us, but he's still physically with us, right?
Hmm.
Before he left, he knew he was losing his memory and losing his faculties. So he went out and did a farewell tour, where he performed all his greatest hits for all his fans. And it was Springsteen was there and Paul McCartney was there. I mean, everyone turned out to see this guy. But he recorded one last song before he lost his ability to carry on. And we're not going to play it now again, because I know Glenn Campbell's not an important artist to a lot of people listening to the show. He's a great artist, but I understand why you may not be familiar with his work. But if you're interested into what happens in Alzheimer's and how heartbreaking it can be, they just released a video that he made for this song called I Won't Miss You. And it is heartbreaking, but really, really fascinating. And they're making a documentary about this farewell tour that he did. That is
That's
crazy.
Rough.
They show him sitting with his wife, watching home movies of him and his the kids and his previous wives. He was married twice before. And he's like, who's that? Who's that? He's like, that's your second wife, Billy. You were married to her for 16 years. He's like, wow.
He's just not there.
Wow.
It's terrifying. Terrifying.
That has to be frightening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No, he was a quite an accomplished guitar player, Kevin, so he did not have a wooden hand at all.
I do have a clip of one of his biggest hits. You just want to hear a short clip.
Of one of Glenn Campbell's biggest hits?
I have a clip.
Had that at the ready? Really? Wow, I'm surprised, Kevin, that you, of all people, would have some Glenn Campbell music standing tonight. Really?
Yeah, he was
good. Right before, by the time I get to Phoenix, I came out with that one.
That was a big hit.
He was a talent.
Harry Styles of One Direction. I was happy to see him caught by photographers throwing up by the side of the road. That was fun for me. I don't know if you've seen those photos. You can check those out. Apparently, he went out with his fellow Brit friend, Lily Allen, and they tied one on, and he was overserved, and they just caught him relieving himself of some of the alcohol in his body by the side.
That's where being a celebrity would suck, because how many times have you been drunk and thrown up, and no one cares, no one takes pictures?
I've rarely done it by the side of the road.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Usually I'll get home.
You can
sometimes
make it to a toilet
not
somewhere,
feel
right?
Well, but that made me laugh.
Oh, God, it's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am shitting all over myself.
Yeah, that's on you.
It is One Direction.
Javier Bardem will be playing the villain in the upcoming Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell No Tales film. Hollywood Reporter says he's in early talks to play a ghost captain who blames Johnny Depp's Captain Jack Sparrow for the death of his brother and is searching for a supernatural object to aid him. I have no idea what any of that means, but...
All right.
Look, who's a better villain than Javier Bardem? First of all,
no one.
How you doing, friendo? Country for Old Men. And then in Skyfall, terrifying James Bond villain, right?
Yep. Phenomenal.
Took his jaw out. And
that was so weird.
Terrifying. So I'm in. I'm in for this latest Pirates of the Caribbean film. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 15th of Rocktober! Maybe I won't do it for a couple days, and I'll sneak up on them. Today's celebrity birthdays are Penny Marshall, the director, 71 years old. Tito Jackson, 61. Emeril Lagasse, 55 years old. Stacy Peralta, legendary skateboarder, 57 years old. Vanessa Marcil, the lovely and talented actress, is 46. Dominic West, so good on The Wire, now can be seen on Showtime in The Affair. He is 45 years old, and singer Ginuwine celebrates 44 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us each week for This Week in Rage. You can buy tickets to see him on stage doing his live podcast at the Grove of Anaheim, December 11th. December 11th, Ace Man. Why are we talking about shows in December right now?
Hey, man, Halloween's just around the corner.
You'll also be at the Canyon Club at Agoura Hills the next night on December 12th. Tickets available for both shows at adamcarolla.com. I know this isn't why you called, Ace, but I just have to recap briefly. I tuned into your performance with your former lover, Jimmy Kimmel, last night on the TV. The story you told about showing up at the wrong address when you were a closet installer, putting a closet in somebody's house, and then being pointed out to you that you had installed it in the wrong house and removing it and hitting the door was one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Was that totally true?
100%. I lived in North Hollywood. When you're on a game night show, late night show, you have to sort of power through everything. I can take my time for a beat here, but I lived one street over. I grew up one street over in North Hollywood, and then when I moved into my first apartment, I moved one street away from the house I grew up in. So when I looked at the invoice, when my boss handed it to me in Burbank, I said, oh, this is North Hollywood. And then I said, that's my street. And when I said, that's my street, I somehow got confused between the street I grew up on and the street that was one street over that I was actually living on at the time. And I just went to the same address one street over. And I'll bet, hey, if your listeners want to try it, put a tool belt on. I guarantee if my wife was just home alone today and you put a tool belt on and put some materials on your arm and walked with purpose and had a clipboard, you could knock on the door and walk right in.
And put in stuff that they don't want?
Initially, And then I found out they didn't want it. And then
so listen to this. Listen to this, Kevin. So Adam grabs. So he uninstalls the closet, pulls the hooks off the door that he had installed and everything, runs out, doesn't patch up any of the holes in the wall, doesn't put any of the stuff back in the closet that he has ripped out of the closet to put the. So when those people came home, they had their maid, I imagine, frantically trying to explain to them that this weirdo came and tore up their bedroom and left.
I to this day, I have no idea how that conversation went because the woman did not speak English. She was a nanny slash maid slash whatever home with the infant child.
Oh, my
God.
So
I don't know how she explains about the gringo who busted in, installed the closet, and then uninstalled the closet and ran. But the thing that always cracks me up about the story is, and the reason the closet fit is because all those houses are just cookie cutters. They're in, you know, they're one street away.
Oh, so it was the same layout.
Same layout, yeah. Same shelf and pole in the master closet. And to be a little specific, the very last closet bay we would leave as like an accordion. I'd just use a pole and you'd cut it on the job site. So the last bay was 33 inches or 37 inches. It wouldn't matter. You could custom fit it at the job site. But the thing that's comical about it is when I slid the closet door open, it was filled to the brim with dresses and gowns and shirts and boxes and stuff. And I thought, these asswipes, we tell them to clean it every time.
Because they didn't know they were in a new closet.
And they don't do it, and now they pay the price. It's all going on the bed. And as fast as I could, I just tore everything in the closet out and threw it on their bed.
That maid must have been going crazy.
Well, I don't think she knew. I think there was. She didn't think she was privy to what was going on until I. And listen, every single job I did for this company, I left. The whole deal was install the closet and come back to the headquarters. We take care of the money. It was only this one job, this one time, where my boss, Tom, said, you need to give him the invoice and you need to collect the check today. Because normally I would never handle that.
Right.
So normally I would have just left and went back to the factory. But in this case, I said I need the money. And otherwise I would have walked out of the place.
And they would have just had a new closet. They would have
What happened? That would have been even more confusing.
What happened was, as I said to her, I need the money. And she just looked at me like, what? And my boss said they left a check. You know, there's a check there for
right,
you.
Right.
And I said, the check. There's a check here somewhere for me, you know. And she's like, no, you say. You know? And I was like, look at the address. And she just kept saying, no. And then she went and got a piece of mail. And when she got a piece of mail, I was like, you see, it's 11753. Oh. And as soon as I had that reaction, she just looked at me, and we both, like, looked at each other. And, you know, we both had fear in our eyes.
I love it.
And I started running for the closet, and she just started running. And she was on the phone. So I don't know if she's calling the cops or calling her boss.
That's
or,
awesome.
I don't know what that explanation was. There's a crazy man in the house with a hammer.
I love that story so much when you told it. I just couldn't believe it. And by the way, we clearly aren't going to have time for this week in Rage, so let's just finish up on this. So Jimmy pointed out last night that this thing that you did to that poor family is exactly the type of contractor that you grew up to now bust on TV on Spike TV Sunday nights at 10, right?
Not verbatim, but yes, it was in the neighborhood of what I do.
Was it one street over?
Now. Well, listen, can I say this, Bean, before you get all highfalutin on me?
All sure.
When the guys give the speeches about sobriety at the AA meetings, guys that have never touched a drop in their life or guys who have bottomed out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. It's the guys who've been there, right?
When the guys go and talk to gangbangers, Bean, guys who grew up in Beverly Hills who never were involved with a rough crowd or guys who lived it.
So you had to be a horrible contractor to do this show now.
Yeah, I'm like the guy with the teardrop tattoo who's showing you how he was stabbed in prison and explaining, you don't want to go down that road, kids.
Well, Catch a Contractor airs Sunday nights at 10 on Spike TV. And by the way, Adam does live tweet each episode on his Twitter feed, at Adam Carolla, which is very funny. And, of course, the live show is coming to town on December the 11th. That's at the Grove of Anaheim, and then December 12th at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. You can get tickets for both at adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, great to catch up with you, sir. Thanks for the time.
Great.
That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Front of line passes to Not Scary Farm. That's what we're handing out every hour all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Congratulations to Erin Tudren. Is probably not right, from Studio City. She just won her tickets. You can win yours and get your details at krock.com.
Stud hey, City. That's my neck of the woods. Stud City.
Studio City.
Stud City. That's what we call
that's
it.
That's what you call it?
Okay.
Is it? Well, that's what I call it when I'm there. Because then it's Stud City when I'm there.
Yeah, no.
In that city.
Nope.
It's Dud City then. Stud City.
Dud City.
What the?
Is that what you're saying?
You bested again by the rapier sharp wit of Kevin Ryder.
You can't beat him. Don't try.
No, I know. What am I thinking?
He's four steps ahead.
It is quite the rap feud going on right now between Snoop Dogg and legendary rapper Iggy Azalea. It just, that doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, not really.
That's like a howitzer against the pea shooter right there. Iggy has ticked off Snoop. He claims she's spreading lies about the fact that one of her bodyguards rescued his friend when Snoop says it was, in fact, Snoop who rescued his friend from a burning hotel, not Izzy's bodyguard. And then he started posting pictures of her, like a pretty funny picture of an albino African-American woman in dreadlocks, and put the caption under it, Iggy Azalea with no makeup. And then Iggy Azalea blasted Snoop on Twitter saying, why'd you post such a mean pic on Instagram when you send your bodyguards to ask me for pictures every time we're at shows? I'm disappointed you'd be such an ass for no reason. Well, then Snoop goes back and he posts a picture of Marlon Wayans from White Chicks claiming it looks just like Iggy Azalea. And then things got nasty, and Snoop released this video.
Say, bitch, you f***ing with the wrong and your better check you for what I do. You f***ing bitch. Yeah, you.
Yeah, so it is on.
Sounds like it's on.
It is on. Look, I like Iggy Azalea, but... Don't mess with Snoop. You're dumb. Don't be dumb.
Isn't she the one you were making fun of for the way
well,
she
yeah, well, she's Australian. She's from Sydney. She's like, oh, yeah, there's a Barbie over there. I'm going to throw some shrimp on it. And then she raps like, yo, murder business. I'm like, come on. How about just a little bit of authenticity? Just a touch. She should be rapping like, yeah, didgeridoos and koalas too. That's how she should be rapping. That thing's indigenous to her homeland.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift. Don't get me started on this one.
Are we talking about the number one song in America or the number two song in America right now, both of which she owns?
Talk about her shutting down Hollywood so she can shake her skinny ass.
She's very popular.
Yeah, so is Justin Bieber, Bean. It doesn't mean anything.
Popular doesn't equate good. She is shutting down Hollywood Boulevard on Thursday so that she can perform in the street for Jimmy Kimmel Live. Look, he's got a giant stage behind his theater in a parking lot. Just go do your dirty business there, young lady. Don't inflict the rest of us. Don't make Lisa have to talk about the traffic snarl because you're out there with your minute bull body, just to your giant stick limbs, just going all akimbo, not being able to dance to whatever crappy song you're releasing this week.
You think it was her choice to close down the streets?
Yes, I do, because she's a bitch.
Minute bull body.
She's a minute bull. She's like 9 feet tall. She's all stick body. She's like a stick bug.
Yeah.
One of them stick bugs. Speaking of, I'm not going to go there.
Okay, good.
Amanda Bynes is also in the news. She is headed for another conservatorship. Only this time won't be her parents. She won't speak to her parents because she believes that they tricked her into coming to a mental hospital. Doctors who are dealing with her say she refuses to take her medication. So now they're looking to get what they call an LPS hold from a judge. An LPS hold allows doctors to confine someone either at a hospital or another secure facility and administer medication against their will. So in this case, they would legally be able to force her to take medication that would be more effective in getting her back on the right track again. This hold could last up to a year.
if they feel it is necessary.
Wow. So they would do that.
The current situation right now.
They would do that until they figured that she was stable enough to go out and keep taking it.
Yeah, to be trusted to continue taking her meds. Because that was the problem. She was doing okay.
Right.
And she stopped taking her meds, started smoking dope again, and then she went off the rails. And so for her own good, looks like they may have to put her on in a lengthy hold with medical professionals.
Sounds like another Dr. Drew fail to me.
Yeah, nice work, Drew.
I don't think it's his fault.
I don't know why he does. I think he got her pregnant, too.
I don't think he had
it. I'm pretty sure that's right, Ralph. I think you got it, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Penny Marshall, the director, 71 years old today. Tito Jackson of the Performing Jacksons is 61.
He's the only one with any talent in that whole family.
I agree. I wish Tito would release a solo album.
We all do.
No one does.
I do.
Zero people do.
Tito?
Yeah.
Nito. That's what I always say.
You've never said that. And you'll never say it again.
You've got a t-shirt. Emeril Lagasse. At one time, he was the TV chef. There was nobody else. It was just him. He owned TV cooking shows.
That's true.
He was the man. Bam! He'd do that.
He would yell bam a lot.
And now there's everybody's got a cooking show, for corn's sake.
Kevin, didn't you, one of your fancy restaurant meal deals, didn't you have a Lagasse meal or two in your life?
Yeah, my wife was obsessed with his food, and we went to New Orleans. And it was, I think, before, like, just at the beginning of the show or something.
New Orleans, you want guarantee, have good time. Let's play, Cherie.
And how was it? Was it that much better than every other food you've ever had?
Well, here's the thing. I don't eat at nice restaurants.
He doesn't have any macaroni and cheese or a kid's menu.
No. It was...
And a sort of wine, stupid wine there.
It was unbelievable.
It was really good?
Yes, but what am I comparing that to? You know, the KFC that I eat daily.
Did he make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
He did not. He made stuff.
You could sit at the grown-up table?
He made stuff that I didn't understand. I didn't know the words. I just put it in my mouth, as I do. And it was amazing.
Okay.
But I'm, you know, I'm no critic, so.
No, when I think of cuisine, I go to you for the latest and greatest.
Thank you, Ralph.
There are no jelly beans in this. Send it back, he said to Emeril Lagasse. He's 55 years old today. Stacy Peralta, legendary skateboarder, is 57 years old. Vanessa Marcil is 46. Dominic West, now seen on The Affair on Showtime, he is 45 years old. And Ginuwine, 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, girl, tomorrow morning at all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Getting a lot of love for the Armenian comedian Halloween songs.
Yes, as well
Nothing
we
but
should, because they're good.
All love. And tomorrow we've got more Halloween music that we're going to play for you that our listeners have come up with.
You
Dr. Drew will be on the...
I'm
sorry, what, Sam?
You guys are
Well, that may be true.
Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow, and we're going to ask him why he's lying about Ebola. So that's happening.
I do feel like he is just a mouthpiece of the government. He's like, nothing to see over
it's
here.
Fine.
Don't worry, folks. Everything's
don't worry
fine.
About it. Nobody's going to get it.
Seriously.
Oh, my God. It's the end of the world, damn it.
That's right. That's where we're headed.
Brand new internet roundup tomorrow.
The madhouse.
Did I mention Scott Aukerman?
No.
Not yet, but that's great news.
And Joe Golev, as Ralph refers to him.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Talking about hilarity for charity.
On our show.
That's right.
Wow. We don't deserve
How
him.
How about that? Tomorrow morning on an all-new show.